You're listening to Live Law, real stories about the law told live. I'm Nancy Mullane. This week's story is from Skylar Fain. Skylar's an artist these days. He lives in New Orleans. As a kid, he was a big skateboarder, and recently Skylar found himself back in the skate park. But this time, he was there to pull off a different kind of trick. Here's Skylar.
A couple of weeks ago, I met the mayor. I was holding a knife. He came towards me and he grabbed the knife. And then together we caught a Reuben sandwich. And while we did this, skateboarders were flying over our heads. I know what you're thinking. He's an artist, a skateboarder, unreliable narrator, etc. But everything I'm about to tell you is true. They said the theme of the night was an illegal thing, so that's why they needed a skateboarding story. New Orleans has never had a skate park, and that's a weird thing for a city of this size. Comparable city, Minneapolis, how many skate parks? 6. New Orleans, 0. People in other cities say to me, "What's wrong with New Orleans? What's wrong with New Orleans?" I don't even... A few years ago, somebody said to me, "They're building one." I said, "Who?" They said, "The kids." They said, "It's hard to find, though. There's an illegal skate park going up in Gentilly. You have to go up St. Bernard. Take Paris when it branches off. Go under 610. Take a left. And then you have to crawl through the underbrush." And I followed the instructions really closely. I crawled through the underbrush and said, I'm definitely in the wrong place. And then I popped out into a clearing, a beautiful green clearing in the middle of the city, but completely hidden. A highway on one side, palm trees, train tracks, and in the center of it, about 20 young people mixing concrete in big orange buckets and pouring ramps and slowly, bit by bit, building a giant bowl, a skate park for a city that had none. And as an old skateboarder, I found this interesting. I sat down on the grassy slope of the train tracks and just watched them work. There was obviously some organization to it. They were pooling their money. Certain people were sent to the hardware store to get the bags of Quikrete. It seemed loosely organized, but also kind of vaguely communistic, or maybe utopian would be a good word for it. They called it the hippie spot because it seemed to have a kind of egalitarian or hippie-ish ethic to it. I remember thinking what New Orleans claims it is, all sorts of people working together, getting along. The skate park really was. When the trains would go by, people would holler, "Tricks for trains, tricks for trains." And they would bust out special tricks for the engineers who would lean out of the unit of the freight train and wave and honk the horn really loud. I felt like I had dropped down the rabbit hole into a kind of fantasy version of New Orleans. It turned out the skaters needed a place to meet, and I offered my carpentry shop on Franklin Avenue. And every 2 weeks, I got to watch their process up close. And I inexorably got drawn in. It turned out to be a one-way journey into the center of that project. A few months later, I got a text. "They are knocking the skate park down right now." I jumped in my work truck, and I drove up there as quick as I could. And by the time I got there, it was already gone. In 5 minutes, a bulldozer sent by the railroad had undone years of work by young skateboarders. And as the kids started to arriving, they just started crying. And grown men cried too, and grown women. And a lot of skateboarders got very drunk. Those who were of legal age, of course. And people stayed drunk and very depressed for about a week. And then we met back at the park. We held a little funeral. We sang goodbye songs and had a fire. And one of the skaters said, "We're going to start over, right over there." And we walked under the highway just a few feet away, and they said, "Right here, we're going to build another park." We dragged the tools over, started filling trash bags with all the junk that was under the highway, burnt out cars, trash TV sets, couches, you name it. And then the jackhammers. And bit by bit, skate park number two started to rise under I-610, Paris and Pleasure. The neighbors were thrilled. Somebody was finally taking pride in that weird spot under the highway. Some people showed up who didn't look so thrilled. They were from City Hall. And it was a sunny Saturday morning when we all gathered in a circle. They were big men with dark wraparound sunglasses, and they stood like this. And they said, "Y'all are gonna stop building." And the skaters said, "What if we don't?" And the guys from City Hall said, "We're gonna bulldoze it and have you all arrested. Felony property destruction." The skaters sat down on the concrete and they just looked up at the men, and the men looked down at them with their arms crossed, grrr. And the kids looked up, grrr. I said, "Oh God, I can't believe history is repeating itself." I said to these guys, wait, before you leave, let me just say one thing. So, I'm sure you know, skateboarding, number three youth sport in the United States. That means more kids have skateboards than have baseball gloves. So 50 years of skateboarding, what has New Orleans done for its skateboarders? And they were silent. And I said, that's right, zero, nothing. Now you say the first dollar the city of New Orleans will ever spend on skateboarding will be to bulldoze skate ramps built by kids in a working class neighborhood. Is that right? So that's a Gentilly disaster, but it's bigger than that, isn't it? Here in a below sea level city where young people are enthusiastically embracing a zero emission form of transportation, here in the middle of a youth obesity crisis, one of the few forms of athletic activity young people are enthusiastically embracing, we're going to bulldoze skate ramps built by young people, is that right? So this is a citywide disaster. It's a youth obesity disaster. It's a youth health disaster. It's actually, I thought, a political disaster of the highest order. It's the thing that, if we let it happen, we'll never forget. 20 years from now, I said to these guys, we'll be laying awake at night saying, "I can't believe we let it go down that way." And they just nodded their heads. They went back to City Hall and they said, "We can't do it." I said, "We can't do it. We can't knock it down." And there were other department heads in City Hall who said, "No, felony property destruction." They said, "No, we can't do it. We can't do it." It took a year of those guys, and I didn't know it at the time, but they were our big behind-the-scenes allies, dragging City Hall in the direction of the skateboarders, and me dragging the skateboarders in the direction of City Hall. Red Bull heard about it, kicked in $100,000. Tulane School of Architecture, $150,000 at least in improvements to the park. It got so good that the mayor's office called us and said, "We'd like to have a ribbon cutting." And the skaters thought it was a Reuben cutting. Not everybody knows what a ribbon cutting is. And it took on a life of its own. The skaters kept saying, the Reuben cutting. Oh God, the Reuben cutting. So I ended up giving in. We got a 21-foot Reuben from, it was donated by Stein's Deli. When the mayor showed up, he took a little talking into. His people were a little nervous. We were trying to make a fool of him. I said, no, not at all. Today's not about that. We cut the Reuben together. And while we did it, skaters ollied over the mayor's head. And I even met the guy with the wraparound sunglasses, the head of a city department. I said, I kept my word to you. I said, now we do everything with your permission, don't we? I said, there are skaters who haven't talked to me for 2 years. Because we cut a deal with the city. He said, "Skyler, there's people in City Hall who don't talk to me." So every storyteller has an agenda and a hidden agenda. I'm going to tell you my agenda is easy. You know, people like to complain about young people for all the bad things they do. Well, that's fine, as long as we also praise them when they do right. That's my agenda. Easy enough. My hidden agenda is we've gotten words from friends in City Hall that some people in City Council are thinking of criminalizing skateboarding in a large part of downtown New Orleans. This isn't official. I'm breaking the rules by telling you this. If they move forward with it, you're going to hear about it, because there's going to be a really big pushback from the street. And I want you, when you hear about it, to say, ah, I heard that guy talk one time. I know what they're all about. Thank you so much.
Skyler told his story at a recent Live Law show in New Orleans that was co-produced with the New Orleans storytelling series Bring Me Your Own Stories, produced by Lane Kaplan-Levinson and featured on NPR member station WWNO. For more about the series, go to bringyourownstories.com. Be sure to check out our sister podcast, Life of the Law, featuring investigative reports on the law in our lives. Next week on Life of the Law.
If it would rain, my dad would always say, you know, boy, this is a $1 million rain. And I think about it now and I think, no, it's more like a $1 billion rain.
That's next week on Life of the Law. You can hear our feature reports and our live law stories at infiniteguests.org or search for us on your favorite podcast app. Live Law is a production of Life of the Law and is produced by Mary Adkins and Jonathan Hirsch. I'm Nancy Mullane. Thanks for listening.